A lot of times people think that sermons just come to a preacher. The Bible says to study. I don't think sermons just fall into place. The Spirit sometimes will place a thought, a phrase, a scripture. It can be endless how the Holy Spirit deals with the preacher or the teacher as they look in the Word of God. But then, everything you do, you need to confirm what is going on through that. Now, what I'm going to... I jotted down this week, I tried to pull out... First of all, I went to every commentary that I had and looked. And then, which those are dozens, but then in addition to that, I read a sermon from Benjamin Favell, a sermon from Ken Trevette. I went to Coben Brewer's Dictionary of Phrase, that a lot of you would have a hard time getting that. That was written in 1894. Alan Carr has a sermon entitled The Church That Married the World. Tony Severa, he's a pastor that did a sermon on it. William Smith's Dictionary of the Bible, Hastings' Dictionary of the Bible, Revelation verse by verse by Dr. Oliver B. Green. Any of you ever hear of him? The new John Gill's exposition of the entire Bible, the Jewish New Testament commentary, and the Jewish Encyclopedia, plus all the commentaries. And I'm going to give it to you in 20 minutes. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 17, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 17, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh. So I think that's the phrase right there. I'm preaching this morning to overcomers. Just because you're saved doesn't mean that you're not going to have to overcome some things in life. And it's not significant to me this morning what it is that you have to overcome, but there are battles that you fight that you have to overcome that. You know what your battles are, and it may change daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, but still you have to overcome. There is a constant force fighting against us as believers, regardless of what church period that we're in. We could take this of any one of the seven churches and say that this fits because God is looking for somebody that is an overcomer through the blood of Jesus Christ and the word of their testimony. He's looking for overcomers. He's looking for more than conquerors. Someone that will say, I am not defeated. God has a purpose in all things. It may look like that I'm losing out right now. It may look like I'm not winning. But I am an overcomer through Jesus Christ my Lord. So it's to the overcomers. Now if you're not an overcomer, if you're defeated already, this will mean nothing to you. But if you're an overcomer, listen what you gain. Because he overcometh, I will give to eat of the hidden manna. And will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. I'm looking at one phrase out of this for time's sake, and that is the white stone. I may re-preach this message, but I'll never be able to do what I'm going to do this morning in this particular sermon. I know that that phrase didn't shock any of those that read it because they were quite familiar with white stones. They knew all about the white stones. This particular stone came from Solomon's quarries in Jerusalem. And the white stone had a lot of meaning. Let me just dive right into this to try to give it to you without cutting anything out, but I think it'll maybe fill all of the questions that you have about it or make you search out more. What that white stone meant. Now, the hidden manna, that's somewhat a mystery to us. But the white stone was not a mystery to the people that Jesus was writing to. They understood well what the white stone meant. There's dozens of reasons, but I'm going to try to categorize them into five basic reasons if I can. What the white stone? Why did someone get a white stone? What meaning would that have? Well, he's dealing with overcomers. The first thing that it meant was authority. A white stone was given by a father to a son to say, son, now go to town, and on that stone would have their family name, their family crest. And he'd say, son, go to town and buy this particular item. And the boy would say, dad, I don't have any money. He'd say, all you have to do is show them the family stone, show them this white stone with our family crest, our family name, and they will know that you have the authority to buy and get whatever you need. Because it has my name on it. Hallelujah. A white stone was given by a governor, a ruler of a principality or a city. If you were of notoriety, if you had done something to be deserving, if you were royalty visiting in their city, they would walk up and give you a white stone. What that white stone meant was that all of your needs could be met while you're visiting in that city. If you ever have a need, all you have to do is go show them the white stone with the royal seal on it, and the white stone will get you everything that you need. All the authority of everything you'll ever need while you're there is on that white stone. It also meant if you were given one, you could save it for hard times. If you'd ever fall on hard times, they said that you could go to the royal treasury. Glory to God. And you could take that white stone out. And they would allow you, when they saw that white stone, they would go get the royal treasures. And you were allowed to reach inside the royal treasures and take out as much as you could hold in both hands to get you through out of the royal treasury. Because that stone gave you authority because someone in authority put their name on it. I don't think you're hearing what I'm preaching. You may face a lot of things in life. You may fall on hard times. But you can say, Lord, I've come in Jesus' name to dip into heaven's treasure chest and to get all that I can hold today because I need that blessing in my life. I've fallen on hard times and I can't pay my bills and I can't see a way. But in that authority of Jesus' name, I have come to claim all that you have offered me and given to me. So I claim that white stone for all of my needs. A white stone. That's yours. Hallelujah. Well, glory. You can keep it, Ralph. It's yours. And may it remind you of another white rock. The rock that followed them through the wilderness. The rock that gave them everything they needed. And every now and then when the devil says it's no use to believe, no need to try, you just go back to the white stone and say, that's not what I have. I have a rock that never fails that I can stand on. His name is Jesus, and He's given me all authority to do all things through His name. I can do anything but go under, because He'll feed me when I'm hungry. He'll clothe me when I'm naked. He'll heal me when I'm sick. He'll meet every need that I have. He's my daily provision, my bread. I can't do anything without Him. He is my white stone. I think I will take the hour. Second thing, it was a ticket. They would give white stones for admission. When they would have a royal banquet, they would give you a white stone that had only the symbol assigned to you, especially for you. When you got to the banquet hall, they wouldn't say, what's your name? They would say, why should you get in? And you'd show them the white stone that had your name on it. It was the ticket to get to the banquet. Now, when you got inside the banquet hall, they would feed hundreds of people inside the Roman banquet hall. When you got inside, you couldn't sit anywhere you wanted to sit. Actually, the stone they gave you was half a stone. The other half had the same inscription on it, and they would set it at the place that you were assigned to sit, at the table of the king. Well, glory to God. So when you'd come in, you'd say, there's my stone. Has the name on it that only me and Jesus knows. I'm coming to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Lord, where do I sit? Just look for the one that has your name on it. And that's exactly where you sit. That's yours, Lola. Thank God we've got an admission ticket. And the Lord says, we've got a way in. It's not by works of righteousness which I have done. But thank God when He saved me, He wrote my name down. And He has given us, as an overcomer, a white stone. And when I get to the marriage supper of the Lamb, I'll know exactly where I'm supposed to sit. Glory to God. The next reason you got a white stone was for an accomplishment. It was used in the games, the Olympian games. And when they would give them this stone, there was a purpose by it. If you won in your event, you got two things. First, you got a crown. It was usually made out of olive wreath. And they would place it on your head. And then they would give you a white stone, and inscribed on the stone was what? That you had overcome to win the event that you were in. Now, why the white stone? Well, here's why. Because the crown would fade. You know, the Bible talks about the Lord giving us a crown that fades not away. The Olympian's crown would fade through time. But when the crown had faded, the glory was gone, all they could go back and do was look at that white stone and say, I remember when I crossed the finish line. Paul said at the end of the journey, I've got a white stone. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. And the Lord says, when we have overcome the things that's in front of us and we've accomplished all that He has given us to do, don't worry, friend, you're not going to heaven until you finish what He's given you to do. He performs the day and duty that He's given to you until the day of completion through Jesus Christ our Lord. God gave you a job to do, and finally one day I'll preach my last sermon, I'll drive my last mile, I'll pray my last prayer, and the Lord will say, enter in, thou good and faithful servant. I hope in my life I will have accomplished a few things to overcome. An accomplishment. See, it's got the inscription of what you overcome. You ran the race. You finished well. Glory. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What's the next one? Well, acceptance. Why acceptance? Well, the acceptance stood for two or three things. First of all, it was used for sojourners. There were no hotels. There were no motels. You couldn't go down to the local Holiday Inn or Hampton and get your room. When you came to town, you were dependent on the hospitality of others. And they would open their home to you, let you come in. And if the host enjoyed your company when you left, they took a two-piece stone. They kept part, you kept the other half. And what that meant was, any time you're passing through and you're close to my house, my door is always open to you. But also, it meant, if I'm traveling in your country, I have the right to come and visit also. When we get saved, that's exactly what the Lord does. He gives us a stone that He says, by the way, when you get close to heaven, just come on in. The gates are always open. But until then, if he passes by your house, he may come to stay with you. It also stood for citizenship. People would come and they would go through all the guidelines to become a citizen. And since the white stone was important in the political system of Rome, when they voted, they used white stones and black stones. That's how they voted. They would cast the vote by the stones. That's how the Senate, through the Roman Senate, would vote. That signified the vote. That meant that it was to the positive, to the good. The decision was made. And when you come in like manner, because of the political system they had set up, if someone wanted to become a citizen after that they had gone through the process, they would give them a white stone, which meant that you are now accepted as a citizen of our country. We know that this was not your home and this is not where you're from, but now you're a citizen of this country. I don't think you're getting it. Thank God I'm here, but I'm a citizen of another world this morning. My citizenship is somewhere else. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. When they talked about conversation, they were talking about the conversation of their citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. Our treasures are laid up yonder somewhere beyond the blue. Slaves were really servants. The slavery of the Roman Empire was not the same as the slavery in American history. The slavery were people that had no money. They would come, oftentimes be captured through war. They could have killed them, but instead they would bring them back and they would allow them to work off indebtedness. You could go into debt. You remember when the woman came to the prophet and said her husband had died and the creditor had come to take her two sons to be bondmen. That meant that if you couldn't pay your debt, you'd have to work your debt off. And that's the way they dealt with that. But when the debt was paid, when you'd served as long as you were supposed to serve, and then you were set free, the day that you were set free, you were accepted as a citizen as well. And here we have a stone that was placed in their hand. Now the problem with that was everywhere they went, if they were a bond servant, they would also brand them with a human brand. They would put what type of servant they were. They would mark them in some way. So all of their life they carried the mark of slavery. Oh, I feel preaching coming on. But every now and then when someone would come along and accuse them of still being a slave, they'd say, I still have the marks of my slavery. But by the way, I've got the white stone that says I'm free. And if I'm free indeed. Because when the Lord set me free, He didn't make me halfway free. He gave me glorious total freedom. Freedom in His Spirit. Freedom in His Word. Freedom in His walk. Freedom in my life. The Lord says you're not a slave any longer. The things you used to love, you now hate. The things you used to hate, you now love. We have a new master. He is a master that we serve with love. He is the master that gave us the white stone that says you're accepted in the beloved. Glory. Glory. Hey, one other thing. When you were guilty of a crime and they would indict you and you would go before a jury and they would try you, when the jury would vote, they would vote with two stones in their hand, a black one and a white one. You did not want to be blackballed. More black stones cast against you than white. You wanted a white stone. And when they acquitted you, oh, when they acquitted you before they sent you on your way, they would take one of those white stones and they would say something like this to you. There's a lot of accusers out there. There's a lot of people that don't know you've been through a trial. There's a lot of people that don't know the jury has found you innocent. But any time that anyone comes to accuse you, any time that anyone comes to condemn you, all you have to do is say, I've got a white stone. And that means there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. He has delivered me and set me free. So no longer can you falsely accuse me, devil. No longer can you say that He is guilty, because there was a jury trial. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost came together as I pled the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, for my sake, they are free. They are acquitted. All their sins are forgiven. They are gone, forever gone. So we can take the white stone and tell the devil, I'm not bound any longer. I'm not indicted any longer. When I stand before the Lord, I can stand before the Lord with a clean heart and pure hands, because Calvary took care of it all. I was judged by the blood, and the blood says I am forgiven. And the Lord gave me a white stone that says I am saved. I am saved. I am saved. Glory to God. Glory to God. Where glory? Is there anybody free this morning? Anybody that the guilt and shame is gone? That the Lord has taken your sin away and found you not guilty by the blood of Jesus? Thank God, thank God. So when the devil says you have no right, what do you do? Show him. Show him. Stand up. Show him. What's that give you? Authority. When the devil says, you can't get in, the banquet hall's closed, what are you showing, Lola? I've got a ticket, and my seat's already assigned. Your accomplishments. Saying, you've been through a lot, but you haven't accomplished anything. Although when the devil tells you, oh, you lived for God and did all this, and now Herb's gone, and you haven't accomplished one thing, what are you showing? When the devil says you don't belong, you don't deserve to be part of this family, you don't deserve to go to heaven and be a part of the family of God, what are you showing, Harold? I'm accepted in the beloved. When the devil tells you you're still condemned and nothing happened when you prayed, when you went to the altar and asked God to forgive you, and you trusted in the blood of Jesus and it didn't work, what are you showing, Jerry? Acquitted. Never to be brought against Him again. Heaven will say, what sins are you talking about? Because He has a white stone. Oh, I wish I had 500 to give to every one of you today. Five's all I got, and you got every one of them. But the Lord will give you in your heart and soul what you need most of all. The white stone. We're not home yet. We're overcoming. But to him that overcometh, I will give a white stone.